When we read the fucking mail, it's a hell of a ride. One for my buddy, two for the show, three orange slices and away we go. Listen to mail, come on, listen to mail. Gilbert and Frank's very amazing colossal mailbag. Colossal mailbag. Colossal mailbag.
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions with my co-host Frank Santopadre.
You didn't sound too sure about any of that, Gilbert.
No.
He's like a pro now.
You don't
have to tell him the title of the show before
you start.
You've come a long way.
Yeah.
We're going to do something here with this bonus episode, this Thursday episode that we haven't done in a while, which is listener mail.
Okay.
And we're going to read tweets. What do you think of that?
This is a high wire act.
We're lenders of comedy.
And you see what happened with them.
That's right. Nothing good.
Let's see
how far I can get here. We're going to start off with, how are you, Paul, by the
good.
Way? Nice
good.
To see you.
Yes, I was outside of Gilbert's peripheral vision again, so notice I was sitting here.
Yes. Where do we start? This is Ian Lichtenstein, or Ian Lichtenstein.
Ah.
Friday night. It's Friday night, guys. Wife and the kids are at the movies, have the house to myself, and about to watch the Gilbert doc.
Ah, yes, my documentary, Gilbert.
It's a little disturbing that he has the house to himself. And he's going to spend it...
Watching the Gilbert doc. The good thing is he will be jerking off while he watches it. So it's not totally crazy.
Because war reenactors make people hot. Right?
Yeah. He's got hand lotion.
It's hotel hand lotion.
In honor of.
And a damp hand cloth for afterwards.
Gilbert seems to know too much about this.
So he'll be jerking off to the Gilbert documentary, which I think is on Amazon and iTunes now.
Okay. Did he get that right, Dara? Oh, Dara's nodding.
Yes.
Look at you, Gilbert.
Boy,
you are a pro.
See, I know about my documentary and about jerking off.
John Charles Hunt, writes about the David Zucker show. He says, Airplane 2 is not a total washout. It has Rick Overton.
That's right.
Rick is in there, not in the role he wanted to be in.
He's like a lawyer, and
a bailiff.
Yes.
I think he's a bailiff in the courtroom scene. I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, he swears the guy in.
The jive guy.
One of
the jive guys.
For the most part, Airplane 2 is like, it's like at least 90% just a rehash of Airplane 1.
David is proudly claims that he's never seen it. And I don't think Jerry or Jim have seen it either. Rich SC, or the original Rich SC. I love that in the podcast interview with David Zucker, we hear about Zucker's pilot TV show with the then unknown Steve Carell. But of course, Gilbert and Frank blow past that to ask, what was it like to work with Theodore Bacall?
That's our podcast.
That's our show. Bacall over Carell any day.
Why talk about someone who's alive and working?
This is from Steve Harold, H-E-R-O-L-D, and he writes, I can't hold a candle to Gilbert, but it is a start. And he photographed in bags, can you see this? All of his stolen cosmetics from hotels.
Oh, wow.
And lotions. He's got a pretty good collection there.
Yeah.
This is only three or four Ziploc bags, though. It's not in your league.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's an amateur league, but it's respectable.
He's trying.
Yes. The Hotel Association, I believe, has a picture of Gilbert on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
In their headquarters.
Return this robe. Have you seen this, man? Janine Duffy writes, the interview with Zucker was great. I had to order the DVD of Police Squad. That show was hilarious. It really was.
What a few people are commenting on, there was that great story that David Zucker told that President Clinton.
Oh yeah, was trying to get him a date. He was trying to get him to fix him up with Anna Nicole Smith.
Yes, yes. Like, who's that girl in the movie?
That's good.
No, not Priscilla Presley. The other one, the blonde.
I never heard you do Bill Clinton.
Yes,
you sound a little like your Paul Lynn with the flu.
And it also falls in a little to Don Knotts.
A little
like,
bit.
Well,
a little
Andy.
Bit. That's some of the most insightful commentary on Bill Clinton I think I've ever heard, right?
Yeah.
It's me working political.
Right.
I love this. Did they let you vote is this guy's Twitter handle. Channeling Tony Clifton. So Dave Attell is on the Gil and Franks podcast. And he mentions the movie El Cid. Did we talk about El Cid with David Tell? My God. And Gilbert does not say El Cid Caesar? And you call yourself a comedian. I think he's trying to insult you as Tony Clifton.
Yes.
If I understand this. Here's a guy. Eddie Bowen sent us a very interesting. I thought you guys would like this photo. I believe this is a picture from High Noon. You see this picture?
Oh.
This is Gary Cooper and Thomas Mitchell. And Grace Kelly and a very old Lon Chaney, and they're all watching television.
Oh, wow.
On the
set
of High Noon. Have you seen this picture before?
Okay, wait.
I'll go back.
Yes.
That's okay. Gilbert lost the lost the image, but that's...
Okay, where's Lon Chaney?
Right there.
Oh, my
God. I don't know what they were watching, but we'll have to do a little research into that.
That has to be High Noon.
Yeah, it's the cast of High Noon.
Chaney was the old sheriff.
Yeah, they're sitting around. Grace Kelly's wearing a bonnet, and they're sitting around watching what looks like an old Sylvania TV. Very strange. We love getting stuff like that. Joe Cocatana. Koto Katana.
Yeah, I think it's of our Native American fans.
By the way, we just had Felix Cavallari of the Rascals on the show, and I'm trying to figure out why he was called the father of our country.
He
was by his bandmates, because Gilbert asked him how much tail he got.
Yes, pussy.
Yeah.
I asked.
Joe writes, I cried four times, four. That's like 5 man years of tears. Is that what I wanted? Is that what you wanted? Sure, I laughed 400 times, but that's just one episode of ACP. Oh, I thought he was going to say how the documentary moved him.
Oh, a few people have said in the documentary...
They've cried.
...that they cry. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you cry when you see it?
Yeah. No, I have no human emotions, but other...
Gilbert would cry if he had to pay to see it.
Yes, that would make him cry.
But yeah, a lot of people have told me they've cried.
It's very touching.
During the documentary.
It's very sweetly done, and we urge people to rent it, get it, watch it. Matt Stepanski. Hey,
it's called Gilbert, and you could get it on Amazon or iTunes.
Or as your friend J.J. Wall calls it, Gilbert.
And when it ends, it says Finn. Finn.
What a reference.
By the way, Gilbert is one more movie plug away from tying Charlotte Ray for her.
God.
No, he's a long way off.
Yeah.
Matt Stepanski.
Yeah, with Charlotte Ray, it was one of those things like, I had breakfast today, and then you'd have to jump in with... And if you want to know about Charlotte's breakfast, her book is out now.
Listen, she had an agenda. People aren't doing this podcast for their health.
No.
Or their pocketbook.
For their pocketbook.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Matt Stepanski. Hey, Frank, I think you might approve of my DVD Christmas want list. Listen to this list, Gil. Bye Bye Braverman. That's one for you.
Oh, yes.
Cold Turkey, The Drowning Pool. We love that one with Paul Newman as Harper. The Hot Rock, Where's Papa, directed by our former guest, Carl Reiner. Smile, with former guest Barbara Feldon.
Oh, yes.
The Brinks Job, Matinee, directed by Joe Dante, and Harry and Tonto.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great list.
Am I missing any essentials, he wants to know.
And a few of them are George Segal ones.
Correct. Yes, he's in Bye Bye Braverman and The Hot Rock and Where's Papa.
Yeah.
George Segal, who we are dying to get on this show.
Yes.
And we haven't had any luck. Joyce Face. I just listened to this yesterday during the long car ride home from the holidays. Clint Howard was a great guest. And while I was listening, I looked up Rance Howard and read all about him. He sounded like a great dad. Yet Clint's dad passed away. Rance, a character actor, veteran character actor, Rance Howard, who we mentioned on Clint's show, and we should mention his passing.
Ron Howard's never done our show.
No, and he's not going to do it now after you told Clint to tell him to go fuck himself. Yeah.
You think he'd take that the wrong way?
He's not. He's never called you for anything, huh? You weren't asked to be in Cocoon. It's outrageous.
Give me one more year, and I'll be.
did they let you vote? Oh shit! My apologies. And he tweets us and Danny Bonaducci, our friend. I just found out about your loss. David Cassidy was one of the great stars. We haven't mentioned David Cassidy's passing.
Oh no.
Either. Someone who came up on this show in a very humorous way.
Oh, yes.
And we never got to ask him whether he could confirm or deny.
Yeah, the story I had always heard was when he was at the height of his fame as a teeny bopper, he would leave his house in the morning and there'd be a fence around his house loaded with girls who were screaming for him. And he would walk up to the gate, unzip, stick his dick through the gate, and the girls would leap on it like rabid dogs. It was like throwing a sausage to starving animals.
Paul's unfazed. He's thinking, every Tuesday.
Why would somebody tell that story to Gilbert is what I want to know. I think Gilbert might like that story.
Danny Bonaducci claims that this is, it's a strange way to pay tribute to David Cassidy after he passed.
It's the best way.
that's back when that sort of thing was considered fun in the entertainment
business. Oh, my God, yeah. Now he'd compliment a girl on her hair. And his career would be
Times have changed.
He did pass away as we were mentioning him in an episode and played his music.
Oh, he was. We used the clip. Well, we went out on the Rupert Holmes episode on the great song that Rupert wrote for the Partridge Family, Echo Valley. I get the numbers wrong. 867-5309. Something like that. Yeah, Tommy Two Tone. But that was weird timing because David passed. That week.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
And now back to the show. Here's a picture. This is a reference to the Rupert Holmes episode. Somebody, the outspoken Mr. Gatt, who tweets us a lot, sent us a picture of the bad toupee of Charlton Heston and the Warlord.
Oh.
The toupee he refused to take off. Paul, here's one for you. Who was the guest whose therapist or coach told them to go out there and not be afraid to die a death in auditions? Do you remember this?
Do you remember
what guest this was?
Oh, God.
I took this advice and I performed in front of 600 people. Was it Richard Kind?
Maybe. That sounds like it could be. I remember the story.
Yeah.
That sounds like it could be Richard Kind.
I don't. Well, we'll do the research and we will figure that out, and I will try to answer that. Linda Dalton, Linda Dalton. Also, rest in peace to Rance Howard, truly an entertainment dynasty. The Howards. Bill's TV Talk wants to know, how long does it normally take from recording an episode to when it drops?
Do our episodes drop?
They drop
immediately.
Gilbert goes up to the roof with the episode.
Yes.
It all depends is the answer to that question. It depends on how many we have in the can. It depends on
on some serious artistic judgments.
Well,
I think people are thrown because we'll live stream a clip.
Yeah.
But then the episode might not come out for a really long time, and then people think they missed it.
Yeah, sometimes it's because we want to break episodes up. We don't want two comedy writers in a row, or we don't want two musicians in a row, so we stagger them. Other times we're withholding something because of a plug.
And sometimes they get lost.
Oh, and one time we had on Sonny Fox from Wonderama.
Yeah, sure.
And he called us and he said, "When are you going to be playing the interview I did?" And we said, "I don't know, about 3-4 months from now." And he said, "I'm in my 90s. Could you play it sooner?"
Yeah. For 3 or 4 weeks.
Yes.
He said, "I don't know if I have that kind of time." Sonny was one of our great episodes.
A surprise one.
Bless that man. Reed Hawkins says, nothing makes me smile during the holidays more than a Sir Cedric Hardwick impression. So, thank you to this week's episode with Rupert Holmes. Boy, Rupert is just...
Oh, yeah.
Of all of our guests that people go crazy over, and we get a lot of them, a lot of tweets about certain guests, Rupert has really...
Yeah.
He's become our Tony Randall, although Richard Kind will take offense at that.
And another one that is always a new story... we were talking. We got a call from Bill Macy.
Oh, yeah. What's up with Bill?
Yeah. And Bill Macy said the hour he spent with us was one of his most listened to successful moments in show business.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. He's great.
Bill I think Macy. Our pal Gino sent Bill some herring. We're going to have to check up on that. I think
I'm not even going to mention him.
I purposely mention him because you don't mention him.
You know, Oscar Peterson used to travel with his own piano, but you got to respect a guy who travels with his own herring.
Yes, you know? You do. Well put. Eric Ryan.
I heard he's hot of herring.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's one of those tweets that you usually apologize
for.
We should have Bill become like a regular in the minis, just pop up.
That reminds me of the...
call in.
We got to get Bill back.
The crack about the sock market. Was
oh, yes. Yes, I made a killing in the sock market.
Bill Macy's another one of those guys we can't really wait on too long.
Oh,
bless his heart. He's 95. Eric Ryan Esquire, who writes us all the time and contributes a lot of stuff on Patreon. Eric says, I can't believe all the projects he has in the works. Rupert is such a smart guest. He's accomplished so much. He's a treasure. Love the Jerry Lewis story, and the David Cassidy voice at the end was great.
So also very, very down to earth, very nice guy, pleasant.
He is just sweet and kind,
just fun.
Yeah, fills the room. I mean, and just a calming presence, the kind of guy you want to be around, right. Especially in a madness. like our daily madness. Empty Squares, Empty City Squares is our friend John Fotiatis. Every time I hear Real Gilbert's latter day Jerry Lewis, I want to reach for a throat lozenge. And then some. Now here, Angry Filmgoer is writing to us about another podcast. Are you familiar with a podcast that supposedly dissed Lon Chaney Jr.?
Yes, someone told me about
this. This is a show called You Must Remember This, which is a nostalgia podcast.
Oh, I want nothing to do with them then.
Okay, because she apparently, the host of the show is a lady named Karina Longworth, and she said that Lon Chaney was the worst.
Oh, fuck her.
So
we had talked about having her on the podcast, but I guess that's down the drain.
Yeah. Well,
I have not listened to the show. I'm told it's a wonderful show.
If you don't like Lon Chaney Jr., I don't want to talk to you.
Oh, let's see. One for here's a Finn. Finn, this is the end of your documentary.
Oh, yes.
Finn, F-I-N. One for the GGACP list is Dame Diana Rigg.
Oh, my God.
She must have Vincent Price stories up to and including getting him laid. And there's a YouTube attachment.
Oh, geez.
I have to click on that. Now I'm curious yellow.
She's a dame now?
She's a dame, yes.
Wow.
Mrs. Peel.
Emma
Peel from the Avengers.
And who was the other one?
I think she left the series. You were an Avengers fan, Paul?
Yeah, I was.
There was a second, and of course,
second Emma Peel?
There was a second associate. An associate of Mr.
Well,
Steve.
Who the fuck you're asking.
He knows.
I've got it in here. It's
lots
inside.
Of people, might I add, that lots of people are sending us Scarlett Johansson pictures.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
This one
may be fake.
Is this the robot or the real
one? No, this is her in a white bikini.
It may be fake, but, the guy says, you probably have come across this. And I've come across it several times.
That's terrible.
I keep a box of handy wipes by my computer.
Oh. You know, you always struck me as the chamois type. like a ShamWow.
Oh, my God.
Polish. You want to polish.
ShamWow.
Yeah. the monster.
Hey, do you remember?
Can't even get to these tweets.
Do you remember, Billy Mays used to be the king of...
I think he died. He had a sudden heart attack or something.
Yeah, I think it was from cocaine.
Yeah, I think so.
But the original story that came out was so good. They said, they were opening up the overhead compartment on the plane... and a bag fell out and hit him on the head. That was the original story, how Billy Mays died. And then they said...
The ShamWow guy.
Yeah. And then they said, he had a major coke problem.
That's what I heard. He had a massive heart attack.
But they did say it was a bag falling from the overhead compartment.
We should do a show. I don't know how we're going to do this show tastefully, but when has that stopped us? We should do a show about unfounded, not... We do every show.
Mama Cass with the ham sandwich.
I don't want to get into stuff like the Rod Stewart rumor or the Richard Gere. But there's dozens of these things. You know, I mean, obviously we're guilty, too, of promoting the Cesar Romero.
I heard a Danny Thomas one.
Oh, did you? Moving right along.
Talk about a guy who needed some ShamWow for his tables.
Yeah, absolutely. Windex.
More like the elevator operator,
a squeegee.
The squeegee. Yeah. The guy that cleaned the glass elevator. Yeah. The monster. He writes us to say, here's another white actor playing Asian. We were talking about the white actors playing Charlie Chan with Rupert. Peter Lorre's Mr. Moto.
Yes, he made a chain of those movies.
Yeah, he did. Can't believe they got away with that stuff in those days.
And I heard Peter Lorre was once making a movie with some guy named Vincent something was the director. And the director wanted him to do a second take, and Lorre said, sorry, Brother Vince, I only do crap once a day.
Wow.
And the guy said, what about the Mr. Moto movies? And he says, that's different. I was on dope.
Hilarious. Where do you get these stories? That's gold.
And then Peter Lorre would stick his dick through the fence.
Oh. Peter Lorre was that popular.
Yes, yes.
Women were gathering around. Well, no shit.
People mix up Peter Lorre and David Cassidy all the time.
Wow, Mr. Moto.
And Peter Lorre had a recording. I think I love you. I think I love you. So what am I afraid of?
That's a song Gilbert loves to come across.
Yeah.
He does.
I just came across it right now. Could you bring me a fresh pair of jeans?
Mrs. Yakafluss. Mrs. Yes. Yakafluss. We love hearing from her. Good night, Mrs. Yakafluss, wherever you are. Listening to you, Gilbert, listening to you and Frank now, Joyce Van Patten, what a great guest. Keep them coming.
She was another surprise one.
She was a gold mine.
Like, we both liked her.
Yeah.
Richard
Kind brought Joyce to us.
Yeah.
Because she's George Clooney's ex-mother-in-law.
That's right.
Which is the Richard Kind connection.
And that's a good song. Someday we'll find it, the Richard Kind connection.
We got to knock out a music episode after this. He is
the dreamers and me.
He's fired up.
All of us under it. We know that it couldn't be magic.
Should we call Paul and get him back, or are you just going to torment him?
Yes, yes. Well, I want to bring him back and torment him to his face.
He was, he's a gentleman. He was nice enough to show up for your screening. You mocked him again from the stage.
Yes, I started at the screening. He came there, and I said, I usually don't take requests, but this is Paul Williams fucking Shirley Temple.
Which he did in front of a theater full of people.
Yes. Oh, Shirley, let me put my dick in you. Oh, Mr. Williams, that would be an honor.
Oh, my God. Never saw a person laugh more than Tracy, his pal. Laughed when we did that. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Let's see. Leon Chase, I know he's a little young for you guys, but have you considered booking Jerry Marin, the last surviving munchkin?
Oh, we have to.
We've talked about Jerry.
He's
I
a little
don't
young.
Think he's in very good condition. And also,
was he ever?
Well, I'm also afraid to bring a little person into the booth because of what you're going to do. Even on Skype. I'm afraid it'll kill him.
You're afraid I'll toss him across the room. Yeah.
Well, we could make it a mini.
That's funny. Let's see. Colin E. Woodward. Hey, Frank, have you guys ever done a mini episode on great film scores? I don't think we have.
No.
We should. In fact, I have the perfect guest in mind.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to surprise.
For film scores.
Yeah, to talk about Jerry Goldsmith and John Williams. I mean, we could do it. We've talked about John Williams a lot. We could do a whole
that'd be fun.
John Williams episode or two. But I have a friend who comes to mind who I think would be.
Is he Italian?
He happens to be. Yes. Don't tell our listeners who
I'm not going to give it away.
Who I'm thinking of. Well, but he's an expert on film scores. He's composed a few himself.
It's a shame Marvin Hamlisch isn't around.
Yeah, Marvin was tight with Rupert.
Yeah.
Let's see what else I have. Some great drawings, by the way, the Paul Lynn drawing.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a moment to thank Steve Hanna, who did that wonderful Thanksgiving dinner art. The Norman Rockwell.
That was a great one.
Which was just, and I sent it out, you saw it, which was Gilbert and I serving Thanksgiving turkey to Cesar Romero.
And there's Milton Berle is at the table.
Yes.
And a bunch of
Curly Howard and Julie Newmar. And what wonderful work.
Oh, yeah.
That was
a lot of fun.
So we have to thank him. That was absolutely fantastic.
We get a lot of great artwork.
Yeah, we'll do a future episode where we just basically name check everybody. I don't have their names handy. Let's see. Bob Dukart wants you to know, Gilbert, that he saw the Gilbert movie on video on demand, and my initial reaction was the movie is like a Chinese dish. Not because Gilbert looks a little Asian. You know, you could have been Mr. Moto.
I know.
You could do a modern day Mr. Moto and solve crimes.
What drives me crazy, had I been born a couple of years ago, I could have been Mr. Moto and I could have been an Indian chief on F Troop.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Or in some Corman movie like with Dick Miller, where you were playing a cavalryman and the Indian that gets shot. There was a sweet and sour taste in my mouth after I saw this. And his hashtag is God bless Dara. Dara gives you a thumbs up from the couch, Bob. Let's see what else we have here.
I heard Paul Lynn used to get a sweet and sour taste.
Now cut that out. I
heard he used to get a thumb up from the couch, too.
No, my God.
And people who would eat off Danny Thomas's tables would get a sweet and sour taste.
Wasn't this supposed to be a tweets episode?
It was, and I've gotten through about 12 of them. We have a few minutes left. Let me fly here. Someone tweeted us, someone named Mario Cantone.
Yes.
What a surprisingly fantastic time I had with Real Gilbert and Frank Santopadre, only because I was miserable and tired. But alas, another fantastic holiday podcast was given birth in swaddling clothes here at all. It's going to play on Christmas Day, the Mario episode.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Boy, does that man bring it when
he
comes here.
Oh, he's always fun.
Yeah. Everybody tweeted, thank you, Mario. We can't wait for Mario. Bill Schaefer says, Lucy's character on the original radio show, My Favorite Husband, did you know this, Gilbert, was named Liz Cugat, later changed to Liz Cooper?
Is she related to Xavier Cugat?
Well, I don't know what they were going for. Richard Denning was her husband on that show.
Wow.
And his character's name was George.
Now, what was the name of her last? Was that Life with Lucy?
Life with Lucy was the last one.
I would like to see a bunch of those.
I'm going to send those to you.
Oh, those?
I'll send them to you, and I'll send you the stone pillow.
Stone pillow I saw. That was like her.
Do you know what this is, Paul?
No.
She played a homeless woman, a
yes.
bag woman. Yeah, and it was painful.
It's like she beat Carol Burnett as far as like the comedian, poor woman. A stone pillow is terrible.
What does stone pillow
because
have to do
with? Because she slept on the sidewalk.
Yes. Oh, stone. Oh, it's so poetic.
And it was
poetic.
Like. Yeah.
Poetic is what it was.
It's one of those TV movies that dares you not to give it an Emmy. You know?
Life with Lucy was the last one. I think I know what this tweet stems from, the conversation we had with Rupert.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that something claimed that he knew all the Lucy surnames. And then he said, no, I don't know where you got that. It was from an old People magazine. That was her last sitcom. And she was a grandmother. She was in her 80s and trying hard, but it was just, oh, my God.
Quite. Yeah.
Oh, trying to recapture. It's kind of like watching the 50-something Harpo run across a rooftop in Love Happy.
Oh, God, yes. Or when the Three Stooges would slap each other and you go, oh, these old men are going to get hurt.
I retweeted this one from Greg Greenwald. I love this tweet. Do you want to talk about Ray Harryhausen movies or obscure Karloff pictures from the 30s and 40s? Is a question asked only on the Real Gilbert podcast. Hysterical episode. JJ says, I stumbled onto The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, and I'm watching Carradine and Wayne chew the scenery. Boy, that's a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Let me find one last one to go out on. Mario writes to us, you bring me joy, Gilbert and Frank, but you're very difficult to work with. He's stealing your lines. And finally, this is about, we'll go out on this. This is about, you're taking a lot of heat for being 14 minutes behind on the Mario duets.
Oh.
I tweeted. I said to Mario, maybe the reason you're difficult to work with is you cannot catch him. The man is a professional singer. He knows. He's done Broadway.
Right.
He's got this crazy idea that you have to sing along with the music.
Yes. No matter what I do, no matter how Frank and I speed it up or how fast the karaoke track is, Gilbert will sing.
Well, Gilbert is using a postmodern approach.
Is that what it is?
It's
postmodern.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people think it's wrong, but it's actually postmodern.
We'll go out on Ernest III. Ernest Ernman Sells Out. This is for you. This is based on the Rick Overton conversation. We were talking about Sinatra's version of Mrs. Robinson.
You cuckoo bird, Mrs. Robinson.
Jilly has a place. He puts Jilly Rizzo in the goddamn song.
You cuckoo birds.
Yeah. I heard Paul Simon in an interview. He wrote to us on Rick Overton. I heard Paul Simon in an interview saying that Frank's producer played it to him to get his approval, and Paul didn't like it. And the producer practically begged him, please let him release it. I don't want my family hurt. I pray that that is true. And Paul gave in. Oh. Well, that is our first listener mail episode in quite a while. Keep the tweets coming. here's the last one. I lied. The Brother Kite will go out on this. Given Gilbert's interest in well-endowed male celebrities. It's a little disturbing, by the way.
The two latest ones we got are Hunts Hall and Lon Chaney Jr.
Mick Garris said Lon Chaney Jr. was endowed. And Hunts Hall, we were told by his old castmate, Art Matrano.
Yes.
Okay. Have you thought about getting Cynthia Plastercaster on the show?
Oh, my God.
I think she's the groupie that made the penis.
Yes.
That's right.
Right. We can have her come and make one of you and put it on our merch page.
It'll be a pocket size.
like those little erasers you used to put on the back of your pencil.
It'll fit your wallet.
So we'll do another listener mail episode down the road. Keep them coming. We thank our friends John Murray and John Fotiatis for their listener mail themes. We thank Paul for his stellar research on this episode.
Oh, yes. My God.
Yes. Again,
what
stellar.
Would we do without him?
And keep the cards and letters and tweets coming. You want to take us out with Mrs. Robinson?
Oh, you cuckoo bird, Mrs. Robinson.
Thank you, Frankie.
Ring a ding, ding, ding.
See you next time.
Just like